Joseph has three dreams after the Magi leave Judea, but it is a very open question as to whether these are good dreams or really bad dreams. It is very tempting indeed to interpret the first dream Joseph has as a good dream, inasmuch as an angel appears and tells Joseph to get out of Bethlehem and go to Egypt in order to save the life of Jesus. But of course, this dream is also a nightmare. Joseph knows Herod is out to kill his child. And Joseph also knows that Herod has the power and the means and the cold-blooded nature to do just that. It would, I think, make any parent wake up in terror and a cold sweat. Joseph would be saying to Mary, "We need to get out of here, right now, right here, right now," in almost Hollywood-style urgency. But think about the extraordinary nature of the past few days. Jesus receives exceedingly expensive gifts from three foreign kings, giving the family such hope and promise in the infant's life. And now with this dream of Joseph's, the parents must be terrified and at odds with their child's future. Will he survive? Will they survive? But the end of that dream is just the beginning of their nightmare. They have to gather their belongings quickly, walk as fast as they can down the street to the gate of the city wall, all the time, I imagine, with a baby crying and Herod's soldiers all over the place. Once even onto the main road, they face a very long and dangerous route by foot to Egypt. But of course, we know that the nightmare is only just beginning. The almost mind-numbing terror is about to begin. The town that Joseph and Mary and Jesus just left behind will soon echo with, in quotes, wailing and lamentation from the parents of infants 2 years or younger that Herod has demanded to be killed in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. How quickly and how far things have changed since the birth of Jesus a few days before. From a star shining in the east, gold, frankincense, and myrrh, and the promise of peace, joy, and hope, and love, and now fleeing to Egypt, and the blood of infants running in the streets because of a mad tyrant's fear that he would not hold on to power. In fact, Matthew's gospel is incredibly short on this. Matthew's gospel, from the story of the Magi to the killing of the innocents, is but 18 brief verses. And in a cruel kind of way, I think this story shows the sometime tragic nature of the human condition. From a state of joy and hope and love, far too often humanity, with surprisingly quick turn of events, often for political and military reasons, turns into, well, a nightmare of unbelievable violence. A few weeks ago, I saw a documentary on PBS on the city of Aleppo in Syria. And before their civil war started, Aleppo was a very average town, a large city. I think it's the second largest in Syria. Big middle class, people drove cars, had flat screen TVs, good educational system, hospitals, everything that we in the West would look at and say is a civilized, modern society. But in the years of the Civil War, Aleppo, of course, was the center of the resistance movement, became a nightmare itself. Slowly it was bombed. The preferred bomb of choice were the barrel bombs. Barrel was put in a helicopter. They had no means to shoot it down. And a barrel was pushed out of the helicopter full of explosives and would explode. Amazingly, devastating and amazingly accurate. And the regime that is still in power particularly wanted to target the hospitals, being that they were thinking that would tear down their willingness to fight. And the story was about this doctor and this filmmaker who were married and who had a child, one child, and doing their best to keep the last hospital going until it, too, was finally bombed. And they made it out of Aleppo as refugees by the skin of their teeth. It's a very compelling documentary. If you get a chance to look at it, I would recommend it, as hard as it is to watch. It does, in a sense, have a happy ending, is that they do get out, and they do make it, I believe, to the United States. But how quickly things can change from a modern society in 3-4 short years into getting out by the skin of your teeth. The next two dreams that Joseph has also mirror the back and forth nature of hope and terror. The second dream is a dream of relief for Israel. King Herod is dead. The bloody and vindictive dictator is gone, and the immediate threat to Jesus has fortunately been removed. So Jesus and Mary and Joseph come finally back home. In a sense, they are illegal immigrants coming back to their home, to their social customs, to their regular food that they would eat, to their extended family. It must have been a huge relief. But no sooner do they arrive back home than the nightmare continues. This time, Joseph does not even have to dream it. Archelaus, King Herod's son, has taken over. And as often is the case, the apple does not fall very far from this tree, and he is every bit as brutal as his father. Joseph's fear is confirmed by the third dream and immediately decides to head further north to Galilee. So the plans for a homecoming are thwarted. According to this gospel reading from Matthew, Jesus starts his life very much as a refugee. His family goes from Judea to Egypt, then from Egypt to Judea, and then finally from Judea to Galilee. It is perhaps no coincidence that later in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus himself says, and I quote, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It would seem Jesus has nowhere to lay his head from the moment that he was born to, one could even argue, even after his death, as the tomb that he was laid in was not intended for him or his family, but was donated to Jesus' friends and family by Joseph of Arimathea. Mary and Joseph and Jesus were a refugee family. It is interesting how most homes and churches, including ours, has a creche, the manger scene, prominently displayed during Christmas. In Matthew's account, if we look at Matthew's account in the gospel, perhaps we should consider a different tradition. After Christmas, everyone puts them all carefully in boxes and puts them away so we don't see them. But perhaps Matthew's account would suggest something else. Yep, we can take away the shepherds, because they go back. We can take away the Magi, three kings, because they go back to where they're from. We can put back the animals in the barn itself because they stay where they are. They're fine. But perhaps we should not do that with the Holy Family. Perhaps we should not put them away. Perhaps what we should do is put them on some windowsill looking out at the world. There in the window, they would still look out over a world where there is still violence, still terror, and still repression, a world where refugees are still fleeing and in need of protection, a world where God is still telling us that Refugees still are in need of our help and our protection. As I'm sure you well know, our church has been involved in helping refugees' families. And the first family that arrived, and I do apologize, I was thinking this morning, I forget their name. Does anyone know their last name? The last name of the refugee, I can't remember. Anyway, it might come to me. A family, a true family, father, mother, and three children. And their story was a fascinating one, not unlike the Aleppo story. They were living in Syria and had finally had enough money to buy a home. There's no such thing as mortgages in Syria. You save your money and you buy your home and that's it. Literally a week after they bought their home, it was bombed up, losing all their life savings. However, they consider themselves fortunate that no one got hurt. The family was okay. So they flee to Lebanon, and they were in Lebanon in a refugee camp for 3 years in a tent. Now think about that, 3 years in a tent. Very little education being given to the children. They were all in need of some medical and dental help, not getting any of that. Suffering from PTSD, most surely. For 3 years living in a tent, and then finally connected through the church consortium that we have, were connected to us, and they finally came to Canada. After a number of years, they are doing quite well. One of the children was diagnosed with a fairly severe learning disorder, but that has been addressed. They all needed dental help, and that was donated by a number of dentists. When they originally arrived, someone basically gave their place up for almost free for 2 years so they could start work and get some money in the bank and work. I believe the father now is working all full-time as a carpenter, ironically enough, with Jesus. And they're doing really well. Matthew's Gospel, I think, invites us to imagine Joseph having different dreams. A dream where despots are put out of power and control. A dream where refugees find a new home, a true home, where they can be safe, who build themselves a better life. A dream where war and conflict and a thing are, once again, a thing of ancient history. We are invited, I believe, in this gospel to imagine Joseph having these dreams and to dream them ourselves. Things can change dramatically and quickly, but this can happen for the better as well.